time that we have to open the Word together. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would teach us, help us to have a clearer picture of the book of Exodus, Lord, and help us to see Christ in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we ended with the typology in the book of Exodus, and we noted that in chapters 13 and 14, we had the Passover lamb, which is a type of Christ, and then came the Exodus, and Israel exited out of Egypt, which was a picture of the world system, and its leader, who was considered to be a god, Pharaoh, was a picture of Satan. And the slavery that Israel experienced in Egypt was a picture of their bondage to sin, slavery to sin. And we also know from the New Testament that Moses is a type of Christ, our Redeemer, and the Exodus itself was a picture or a type of our deliverance from the world system. So far we've seen in the book of Exodus a picture of our redemption through the blood, the Passover lamb, and then, as after redemption, comes deliverance from the power of Satan, the Pharaoh, and from the power of the world, Egypt, and from bondage to sin. And so we have the world, the flesh, the devil, our enemies have been defeated when we are redeemed. And just as Christ is our Redeemer, so Moses was the physical Redeemer in Israel. And here's something that will be really helpful in understanding the typology in this book. You can memorize all these things and then try to fit it with what you read in the rest of the book of Exodus. And you're going to stumble, you're going to be confused trying to make all the pieces fit together. And that's because when Israel left Egypt, we speak of them typologically, the nation was redeemed. It doesn't mean that all the people that left Egypt were born again. They certainly were not. In fact, they proved it in the rest of the book of Exodus and in the book of Numbers. So the typology pictures this. Israel experienced physical redemption by a physical earthly redeemer, and that is a picture of our spiritual redemption from sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the typology there, and I guess I just mentioned it here, that their physical redeemer was Moses, and that's a type of our spiritual redeemer, and physical redemption is a type of our spiritual redemption. And so if we can keep that in our heads, it will help us prevent us from making some blunders or getting confused in the rest of the book. So tonight we want to look at the fact that after redemption in the book of Exodus, after Israel as a nation applied the blood and were redeemed from physical bondage to Egypt and Pharaoh and to slavery, after they were redeemed comes a time of testing. And we see this through many chapters in the book of Exodus. And this is also a picture of what happens in the life of a believer. When a person gets saved, we're maybe on a cloud nine for a little while, but eventually that cloud pops, our bubble bursts, and we're back down to earth again. And we discover that life is serious and that we get tested by the Lord. And that's what happened as soon as Israel left Egypt. They were tested at the Red Sea. So what happened to them there was by God's design. Israel had already applied the blood of the Passover lamb. They were a redeemed people. They left Egypt. The Exodus had taken place. And after the Exodus, Pharaoh, who allowed them to go, changed his mind. He hardened his heart, he changed his mind, and he said, why should we let all these free workers leave? They just built beautiful cities for us and tombs and who knows what else they built there. And so he decided to send his army to chase the Jews, and the Egyptian army pursued after them. And you know, originally God led them in one direction, and then God redirected Israel, which was a really foolish move militarily. He redirected them to the edge of the Red Sea, where they were like sitting ducks for the approaching Egyptian army. And it wasn't a foolish move. It wasn't because God didn't know the geography. It was because God wanted to test them there. And God put them in a place where there was no earthly way out. The world's greatest military was poised to destroy this band of Jews, recently freed slaves, who had no weapons, no chariots, no training, no equipment, nothing. And they were now facing the world's strongest military power. And the Jews begin complaining at that point. They begin complaining to Moses, who, remember, is a picture of Christ. And right away, just redeemed, and now the first trial comes, and they say, "Why did you bring us out in this wilderness so we'll die out here? We were better off serving the Egyptians." Now think of this. Israel, think of this in the picture that's being painted here. They were already redeemed. But obviously, they had not surrendered every area of their life to the Lord. Redemption was just the beginning of their battles. So they're pictured, they apply the Passover blood to their doorposts, and that's a picture of applying the blood of Christ by faith. They made their exodus, or they exited out of Egypt. They were free, and then they discovered very quickly that they wanted to go back. It's almost unthinkable. They had a trial. Now they were in a battle. They didn't know what to do. Obviously, they weren't going to be able to overpower the Egyptians. And they complained and they wanted to go back. And so once redeemed, God is going to give his redeemed people some instructions on how to handle conflict in the new life. And so that's a picture of us. We're redeemed by faith. We experience salvation, and then very quickly we discover that there are battles in this life, there are conflicts in this life, there are enemies in this life. And so God gives instructions to the Jews concerning how to deal with this. And so how would Israel deal with this enemy? Now that they're redeemed, should they dig in their heels and say, Now I'm just going to hope that I'll become really strong and we'll be able to battle the Egyptians and we'll win by sheer might and grit and power? Well, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not." Here's what to do. Nothing. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. One of the first lessons out of the land God wanted to drill into their head. Stand still. The battle is the Lord's. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So notice there was a difference between the Passover and here when we see them at the Red Sea. At the Passover, they had to apply the blood by faith. Here, they are simply told to stand still and watch what God will do. And realize by faith that the battle is the Lord's. They had no strength to fight against the Egyptians. They didn't have a great military plan to deal with the Egyptians. They had no power. They were outnumbered. They were overpowered. There was no possible way out. Their only hope was the Lord. Stand still and wait for instructions from God. And God opened up the Red Sea. But before he did, Moses told them to march. Now that would take faith, to march forward. God opened up the Red Sea, and God made a way to escape. So here we see a redeemed people are rescued and delivered out of the world and out of slavery to sin. The chains have been torn asunder. They've been delivered from the god of this world. And when they face a battle, when we face a battle, we need to keep in our heads and our hearts that the battle is the Lord's. That we have no power to experience victory over our enemies by our own grit, by our own strength, or our own wisdom, or our own resources. The battle is the Lord's. And when we trust God, He'll provide a way to escape. And we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There hath no temptation, no trial, no struggle taken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. And that's what God did for Israel, one of their first lessons at the Red Sea. He wanted them to learn that faith is the victory. That the only way to accomplish victory is to trust in the God who rescued us. The finished work of Jesus Christ as pictured by the Passover lamb blood applied to the door. And just trust in that God. And the rest of the chapter gives details about the victory that God gave to them. And then we have in Exodus chapter 15, a long song, a song of Moses. And this was a song of praise for the victory that God allowed them to leave Egypt behind. And so in Exodus chapter 15, they're praising God. He gave them victory. They exited out of Egypt. They experienced victory over their enemies. And now they're free. And what we see from now on is that although Israel was taken out of Egypt, they still had a little bit of Egypt in their hearts. And that's what God was going to have to work on in the coming chapters. He is going to test them. He's going to demonstrate to the Jews what they're really like. They were hesitant to trust the Lord at first. The first thing they did was complain. Did you bring us out here to die? We were better off in Egypt. And then they have another test in Exodus chapter 15. There are a series of tests that take place between Egypt and Mount Sinai. And we see in Exodus 15 in verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. So here's another problem. 2 million people out in the wilderness in a desert, in a hot, dry desert, and there's no water. And they finally, Moses brings them to a water hole, and the water's no good. It's bitter. And so what did they do? Did they learn their lesson at the Red Sea and say, okay, we're in another battle here. We're being tested. Let's bow in prayer. Well, okay, I thought I had that other. In verse 24, we discover that instead of praying, they murmured and they complained that they had no water. And God was going to have to deal with that. They were going to have to change their attitudes. And then the Lord showed Moses in verse 24. Or verse 25, I think it is. The Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And so here again, God is teaching this newly redeemed people that when we face trials and struggles and difficulties in life, when we face a bitter experience in life, God said, cast the tree into those bitter waters and they'll turn sweet. We see here a picture of the cross. When we, by faith, apply the cross to bitter experiences in our lives, those bitter experiences will be turned sweet. God can give us victory. And over again, the Lord is trying to teach these lessons to the children of Israel. They are newly redeemed people. recently a picture of people that are recently saved, new believers. And then in verse 25, at the end of the verse, it says, and there he proved them. So why did God lead? Now remember how they're led. The Lord led them. The Shekinah glory, the fire or the cloud led them. And God led them to a place where God knew the water was bitter. And it says, after that experience, and there he proved them. He was putting them to the test to demonstrate, not to himself, but to them, what their own hearts were like. God already knew what their hearts were like. And so from there, they go on to the wilderness of sin. And that's sin is just the name of the place. It doesn't mean transgression. And what happened in sin? There was no food. And they took their journey from Elim, where they had a time of refreshment, sweet water, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. So they journeyed on to the wilderness, and it says in verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. So here the children of Israel, recently redeemed, having seen a spectacular demonstration of God's care for them, the opening up of the Red Sea and the destruction of their enemy, the Egyptian army, and then God just provided water for them. He turned the bitter water sweet. And now they come to the next stop and they complain, where's the food, Moses? Have you brought us out here in the wilderness to die of hunger? Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Why? That I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So you would think he said, I will provide them food every day so that they won't be hungry. Well, that was obviously part of it. But this was a test. All of these were tests. God was certainly aware of the geography when he led them to the Red Sea. He was certainly aware of the fact that the waters were bitter at Marah, and he certainly knew that there was no food in the wilderness of sin. And God led him there anyway. And he did it to test them. He put them to the test to see what they were made of. And we see that God provided manna from heaven. Now, we know from the New Testament, from the Gospel of John, that this manna from heaven is a type of Christ, who is the bread of heaven, the bread of God that came down from heaven, the bread of Jesus Christ that nourishes our soul. God gave them a picture of that by sending them fresh manna every day, not for their soul, but for their body. Remember, what was physical to Israel is a type of what is spiritual to us. And even the giving of the bread was a test to see what they were like. And then they were tested again at Rephidim. They come to another place, and guess what? There's no water there either. Well, it is a desert. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And lo and behold, there was no water for the people to drink. And so, did they call for another prayer meeting? No. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. They demanded water from Moses. They chided against him. They harshly complained and were angry at him. And Moses is a picture of Christ. Imagine newly redeemed people being angry at God because God didn't meet their needs in the way and in the time that they expected it. And so they were chiding against Moses. And it got really bad, intense there. Moses cried to the Lord saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." They were ready to kill Moses, their leader, their redeemer, because there was no water. And so what we see here in Exodus is a picture of a redeemed people, redeemed by the blood, but very shallow in their faith. And then we see, not only shallow in their faith, but they began to doubt. Sometimes new believers doubt. And they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not? We believed that God was going to take us out of Egypt and take care of us, and now we're kind of questioning that." And that was tempting the Lord. Now, remember, God was testing them. And now they turned it around, and they were putting God to the test. In other words, they kept pushing the envelope with the Lord, saying, "How far can we go before he judges us?" And yet God, in his grace at Rephidim, told Moses to smite the rock once, and water would flow out. And water flowed out of a rock, a most unlikely place. Just like the Red Sea was the most unlikely place to find a way to escape, the waters opened up and they walked on dry land. Here, a rock. God provided water out of a rock. So what looks like a hopeless situation for God's people is nothing for the Lord. And he provided enough water to flow. This wasn't like a little spigot. This was like a stream. It had to provide water for over 2 million people. And that rock was Christ. So there was another test. We see later on in Exodus 17, there was a battle with Amalek. Would they trust the Lord now? Another enemy arose out of the dust. And in Exodus chapter 17 in verse 8, then came Amalek. Notice this, then. One battle after the next, one test after the next. It almost sounds like my life, or maybe your life. Then, as soon as that struggle was over, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now, Amalek was a descendant of Esau, a perennial enemy of the Jews. And now he came, and now they're tested again. And in verse 11 it says, "And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." And so here is the picture. Moses was on the mountains, and when he held up his hand with a rod in it, Israel was victorious. In other words, that was a picture of prayer, like reaching up to the Lord. That was the imagery. But when he let his hands down, then Amalek prevailed. And so God was teaching the Jews through all of these events to trust in him. A newly redeemed people had to learn how to walk by faith, not trusting in our own strength or our own resources or our own wisdom, but to trust in God. And they needed to learn how to pray and to trust the Lord. And then we see from there, Moses traveled up to the Mount of God, up to Sinai. And then, after Moses was there, it says, "And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons," and his, meaning Moses, "sons and his wife unto Moses in the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God." So now we see the Jews have left Egypt. They've wandered around in the wilderness for a little while, and now they're right up to Mount Sinai, where they're going to receive the covenant of the law. And when Jethro comes to Moses there, oh boy, what did I do? When Jethro comes to Moses, well, it's not working, but I can still read. In verse 8, Jethro rehearses, or Moses rehearses, all the things that the Lord had done. how he delivered them out of Egypt, how he gave them victory over the Egyptian army. Moses rehearsed all that with Jethro. And then we see the rest of the chapter, the rest of chapter 18, where Jethro and Moses' family and the children of Israel are right at the edge of the of Mount Sinai. And there, Jethro observes that Moses is the administrator and judging all the people. He's doing it all by himself. And so Jethro gives Moses some good advice and encourages him to appoint some other people to help him in the administration of the work. And that's what he does. And so now, once we're up to chapter 18, this is the first major section of the book of Exodus is over. And this, the main theme is redemption. When we get to the second part in chapter 19, beginning on Mount Sinai, the next part is variously described as either the time of revelation, or some see it as a period of worship. Others call it the covenant, but redemption, and then the revelation that God gives in chapter 19. And so for this second half of the book, we're going to see four major sections, and that is the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, the plans for the tabernacle, and then idolatry has to be dealt with, and then finally the construction of the tabernacle and the worship. So maybe we could describe the first half as a picture of redemption, and then the second half, the revelation and worship of the Lord. So we're moving right along, and we will pick this up next time and meet you on Mount Sinai. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for every portion of it. And Lord, we thank you for the book of Exodus and the history of Israel, into which you wove a beautiful picture of our redemption and the life of a believer, following you by faith and trusting you for victory. Father, help us to learn from these lessons, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.